Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be. With my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
My friends at the old country church.
Greetings, everyone. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is Pastor K.E. Tony coming to you from the Lighthouse Team Church here on Shoemate Road. All right. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your word, so that we can receive the truth of it, Father, not man-made things or man-made ways, but according to your will and your way. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this evening, and we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Before I get into the scripture, there are some things that's on my mind and on my heart that God's been dealing with me over the last few days. You know, we see a lot of things going on around us right now that we blame all of it on this COVID-19. But we can't do that. A lot of the things that's going on right now was started several years before this COVID-19 come out. It's all been pre-planned and laid out for the destruction of our government and our economy and our country, because they want to change our way of life as we now live it to one to where we will be living under socialism. But even those that are seeking to put you and I under socialism have lost their minds, because they don't understand that when that comes about, they won't have any more than we have. Because only the very top – will have anything. Everything we own will go to them. You'll not own your own home. Neither will they. Because that man sitting at the head is going to see and take it all. And mankind has been, as we were started Sunday night, I started with teaching you about giving in and going the ways of the world instead of following the ways of God. And we're seeing so much of that go on today. But we started several years back before this covert hit, losing several hundred churches being closed every year. Then this covert did come along, and it has doubled. Our loss of churches per year now. Because we are losing more and more almost daily from the Lord that's going the ways of the world and the ways of Satan. They don't want to take time to go to church. They use every excuse they can use. And right now, the greatest excuse they're using is, well, I don't feel good. But the greatest doctor and the greatest medicine you can get, you should be able to get at the church and from God's people. Because there is no doctor or physician that's as great as the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my physician. And he's got all the medication I need. He's been taking care of me a long time. My best years, as far as health and all goes, has been my older years. My children know that. Because they know how I bounced in and out of the hospital. Some of them were too young to remember how many times the doctor gave me up for dead. And finally, when I was 33 years old, gave me up for their last time and gave me 2 days to live and sent me home to die. But here we are now, 33 years later, still going, still standing strong. When most people my age are staying in the house, doing nothing. I was watching television the other night, watching this Christian station. And they got this lady. She's a lady evangelist. She is getting ready right now to turn 90. And she is planning right now a trip overseas again. Because you see, she knows who her physician is too. Now, she's not a pastor. She don't claim to be a pastor. Because you see, all of us, when we really become a born-again child of God, we are considered in His Word as being a minister of the gospel, because we are all supposed to carry that gospel and share it with others, women and men. You see, we're only limited. By the work God calls us for and what He wants from each one of us. He tells that lady what her work is. And He tells her He'll use her. He'll keep her busy. He just don't want her doing the work she's not supposed to be doing, the work He told her no. But we've got a lot of them out there doing the work they've been told no, because mankind come along and says, well, no, He didn't really mean that. Because He says, and they use that scripture where He tells about that all that are filled with the Holy Spirit will prophesy, both His sons and daughters will prophesy. That's true. But that don't make them a pastor. The word prophesy, if you look it up in the dictionary, means that you're just going to share with someone else. Well, that lady that is actually a child of God, then she can sit down and talk to you and I anywhere and give us the truth. And it can be coming through her from God. She just told not to be back here behind this podium. She's not to be a pastor. But this is how man has changed it. And he's taken so much out of the Word of God by backing down off of the Word and letting Satan and his demonic force lead them astray. Because you see, He does use men. He uses mankind. He uses preachers to deceive. Preachers that are not true children of God. And we're told to watch out for them. God warned us they would be here. And there would be a lot of them. But you see, that's where mankind is not really looking at the truth of God anymore. I'm going to be going to you tonight, speaking to you from Romans chapter 12. So beginning here with verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the living Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemies hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward to bring to you and I that word which God would have each of us to receive this day, so that we can walk stronger, walk in steadfastness, and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, so that we can make heaven our home. And once again, we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As we back up here now, this first verse. There's a lot of things right here in this first verse when you really take a look at it, to see really what is being said. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Think about it. He's telling you, just your reasonable service is to present your body a living sacrifice unto the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what he's telling you here, you don't go out here and live the ways of this world. You don't look out there and say, well, I want that, and I want this, and I want that. And as long as I can have the best house, I can have the best car, I can have a pocket full of money, I'll have joy. No, you won't. Look at all of them that we have known through the ages that had all of that, and they died and left this world without any joy whatsoever and left it lost. I'll give you one example that most, even our young people, know about today. Some of them never really heard it. But Elvis Presley had everything anyone could want, material-wise. And more money than he knew what to do with. Was not happy. He'd had a wife and a daughter. And the way he lived, he lost both of them. He wasn't happy. And what happened to him? With everything anyone could want materialistic out here in this world, he goes into his bathroom and takes an overdose of drugs and kills himself. And he's done it at the same age his mother passed away. Because he thought that that would give him peace. No, that just sent him to hell. You see, you can't take a life, not even your own, and get away with it. And yet, our government today took and brought back abortion, and we've already killed over 60 million babies. Think about that. Then we wonder why we're in such bad array as we are in today. He's telling you and me that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We are to be living our lives as Jesus lived. Because we are to be living for him, listening to his voice, studying his word, staying in church and going by his word, bringing it to life so we can reach out and do the things he was doing. Oh, well, now, he was Son of God. We can't do those. Oh, yes, we can. He told us we could. He says, all that believe in me. All. Not one or two. Not just pastors and deacons and teachers, but all that believe in me. These things I do, they that do, and greater than these will they do. And he told us why. He says, because I go to the Father. Because he's expecting you and I, when we become that born-again child and living God, to live as he lived. Because he went back so you and I could be filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. You see, it was that Spirit that was living in him while he was here on this earth that gave him the power to do the things he thought. And you and I, when we are born again, we have that same Spirit. We have to learn how to use it. We have to learn how to receive it, how to accept it. But it's there for us. It's all in God's Word. Well, yeah, but, oh, we got those out there teaching you, oh, you can't live without sin in your life. You've just got to have sin. You're a moral man. No, when you become a born-again child of God, you're not just a moral person anymore. You are filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And when you have been born again, you can't commit sin. Now, that's not my word. That's God's word. Oh, now, no. No, that ain't God's word. Now, you telling me tales now, brother. No, I'm not. That's God's word. And, you know, it's most all these so-called preachers out here that are teaching you that you can't live without sin in your life. No telling how many times they've read it. But they're making other things say things that it doesn't say to lead you in their way, because they've got things in their life they don't want to turn loose of, that in order for them to live a righteous life, they'd have to turn loose of it. They don't want to. Now, in 1 John chapter 3, here's what happens to you when you are a born-again child of God. I don't care whether you're a man or a woman. We've all got to be born again. He tells us that in the Gospel of John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus. He says, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, when you're born again, he tells you what happens to you. So in that third chapter, we'll come over here to verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. You're to have a purified life just as Jesus was walking in purity. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. He's telling you what happens when you commit sin. You're transgressing the law. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Now, he takes away our sin. There was no sin in him. He goes on to tell you in verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. But you still want to walk around and commit that and same old sins over and over in your life because some man told you you couldn't live without them? As long as you're doing that, you'll never know the Lord Jesus Christ, nor will you ever be able to make heaven your home. You're going to split hell wide open and end up in that lake of fire is what's going to happen. Little children, let no man deceive you. Don't let no one tell you different. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. When you are walking in righteousness and walking filled with the Word of God and living according to the Word of God, you're walking filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's moved in. He's living in you, and so is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That's a whole lot living in you. Verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Uh-oh. Well, my pastor just told me this morning that I can't live without sin in my life. So I guess I'm just going to be filled with the devil. If you are, you ain't going to make heaven your home. For the devil sinneth from beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We know he done just that at the cross. He took all the sins of the world down through all the ages. Your sins, my sins, all of our sins, and they were nailed to that cross with him. Even the Father had to turn away and not look at his Son while he was there on that cross. Because, you see, God cannot look on sin. And that's why when Jesus was hanging on the cross, it's written in the Scripture, in the four Gospels. What was his cry? Elama, Elama, sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God couldn't look upon the sin that was on him. And it wasn't even his sin. It was mine and yours. Now, when we become that born-again child of the living God, here's what happens. You could become a new being. Because you are being born again, but you are being born into the family of Almighty God. And here's what takes place. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Now he's going to even go stronger than that yet. For his seed, God's seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. The Holy Spirit will keep you from committing that sin. He'll tell you when it begins to come against you. He'll tell you, don't do that. That's wrong. Don't do it. And he tells you there in verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifested. You are to stand fast that way. Stand fast in and on his word, filled with him and the Holy Spirit. And the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You see, I wasn't the one telling you that you wasn't supposed to sin. The Word of God was telling you that. You see, we've let too much slide away from the Word of God. So far, been speaking to you now for about 15 minutes or so. And I'm just now getting through the first verse. So when you do read the Bible, how fast are you reading it? So what are you really getting from it? That's why he says study the word. Don't just read it, study it. That's the way you get the understanding, because you're giving him time for the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of his word to you. That's like when I first started here, I read the chapter to you, didn't I? But how much of that did you really get? How much of that really stayed with you? Not much, did it? That's why we back up to break things down so that we can get the understanding. That's why we teach. Now here in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Don't get out here wanting the things of this world. Want the things that are above. Want the things that are in heaven. Want to be that child of the living God and want to serve him and do what he calls upon us to do. I don't care whether you're man, woman, or child. Do what he wants you to do. But you see, we're losing our young people today because they have been taken down the wrong roads. Look how many years back they started out. Our own government started out to get your child and our grandchildren. And they first started by taking the Lord Jesus out of our schools. Hitler done the same thing before he took over Germany and caused World War II. He started with the children and the schools. And then he even took the young children, making into fighting machines, using them. to be suicide killers. And he done it by taking the children first. And our schools are doing the same thing. Now they're wanting to put in our schools, put teaching in there that it's all right to be unisex. No, it's not all right. But that's what they're teaching now to your young people. You're a girl and you want to be a boy, that's all right. You just go ahead and change. God wants you a boy. He's made you a boy. God's the one who created you. He's the one who put that breath of life in you. Oh, no, my mother and dad done that when they come together. No. They conceived you, but they didn't put the life there. Almighty God put that life there. If he hadn't breathed that breath of life in there, you wouldn't be here today. Now, he goes on here in verse 2, after telling us not to be conformed to this world, but be you transformed. How am I to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Well, how do I get my mind renewed? By the word of Almighty God. By the study of his word. By attending a church that will teach the truth of God's word. And by spending my time with God's people and not the people of this world out here doing things that I should not be doing to start with. Because not a one of us, especially in this day and time we're living, for we are well into the last days of time. We don't know, we can't say what year, or what month, what week, or what day the Lord will come for the church, but we know it is close. He gave us the things to watch for and told us, when you see these things happen, look up. He said, when you see them first start, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Well, they've been going on for several years, a good many years. Our churches have been falling over the last 50 to 60 years. We didn't lose them overnight. I've seen most of the fall in my lifetime. I can remember when all the churches, Protestant churches, taught the same thing. They all baptized the same way. Now they don't even want to talk to each other. They went and built denominational walls out here. They won't even talk to each other. The Baptists don't want nothing to do with the Methodists. The Methodists don't want nothing to do with the Baptists. Neither one of them want anything to do with the Presbyterian or the Lutheran. They built walls of denomination and divided our nation and weakened our church world. And the first thing that they changed was baptism. One of the first things that was changed was baptism. At one time, all of our Protestant churches baptized in Jesus' name. Now they baptize you, most of them, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the way they baptized under the law, not in the church age. And we're told. We're told what happens to us even when we're baptized. Most today don't even want to accept that. When you were baptized, if you were baptized right and you done it in honesty and sincerity, You put on the Lord's death. You was buried with him. When you put under that water, you was being buried with Christ. And you were buried in his name, in the name of Jesus. And when you was raised up out of that water, you was being raised in his resurrection. And then it tells you, you are a new creature. Are you? Are you a new creature? Most are not. Because you see, most have not been baptized, right? That's why we're told in the scripture, do you first, some has got to do their first works over. Because it wasn't done right. Oh no, there ain't none of that truth. There ain't a bit of that truth now. Pastor Tony, you know that's not what baptism is. That's not really what happened when I was baptized. Wasn't it? Well, in the same book that we're in the book of Romans, let's back up here and take a look here in chapter 6 of Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How did I get dead to sin? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him. How? By baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Now we're to be raised like him. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. God's word, not mine. His word. So what happened to your life? And you see, even with that, your sins have been forgiven, yes. But you've just started on the right pathway. That's why when Peter preached one of the greatest messages ever recorded in the Bible on the day of Pentecost, when they come out of that upper room and they had them thousands listening to him, and at the end of it, they asked him, what must we do? What must we do to have that? What must we do to be saved? What did he tell them? You find that in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. I ain't going there. I'm going to give it to you. If you don't believe me, you can read it for yourself when you get home. But Acts chapter 2, verse 38 tells you. Peter told him, says, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as you read the book of Acts, you'll find that in the setting up of the church, when the apostles began the setting up of the church at the beginning of the church age, and as they were teaching, there was a lot of them that would accept Jesus. And the word tells us, some of them had been baptized. And the disciples asked them, all right, because they asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost? We've never even heard there was a Holy Ghost. Then how were you baptized? We were baptized by John's baptism, which is by the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the way John baptized, because it was under the law. And he was to recognize the deity of the Godhead. They took them and rebaptized them in Jesus' name. It's all recorded. But man, listening to all the deceit and deceitful ways of Satan, they're not accepting any of it. And look where it's brought us to today. And we're losing more churches every day, and we're losing more people every day because they want to go their own way, and they don't want to give any time unto the Lord to spend in church. I got a football game I want to listen to tonight. I can't go to church. No, I got to go play tennis today. I can't go to church. I got company coming into my house. I've got to stay home with them. Know what you should be doing is letting them know you can either come go to church with me or you can sit here and wait till I get back. Because I'm going to the house of Almighty God. That's why he told you. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. He tells us, don't stay away. Don't stay away from church. But that's what they're doing. Well, I don't feel good. I don't feel like going and sitting. If you go to church, you might feel a whole lot better. Because the Lord just may take a notion to heal you while you're there. But he's not going to force it on you while you're sitting at home. Think about that. But that's exactly what we do, ain't it? And you've got to stand in faith. And that all comes with part of renewing of your mind. And it goes on to say that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Or we come down to another word the church don't like today. Don't use that word in church today, that word perfect. Well, they ain't none perfect, no, not one. Only the Lord was perfect. But he also tells you in his word, be you perfect as I am perfect. You can't be perfect on your own. You've got to have him and the Holy Spirit. But you are to reach a spiritual perfection, a completeness in God. That's what it means. And you live your life without sin in it. Is it easy? No. And he tells us it won't be. And he tells you that actually when you really go to him, one of the first things you're going to face is Satan. He's going to hit you right head on with the strongest of your weaknesses as a temptation. Whatever would be the easiest to tempt you with, that's what he's going to hit you with. Just to get you to back off. You see, we don't listen to these things. Well, we haven't got very far. But I'm going to get into this next verse and then we're going to close out. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That measure of faith. We are to walk in the righteousness of Almighty God. And I'm not to think of myself with pride and build myself up to make me greater than anybody else. That's what he's warning me about. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ, I am nothing. Nor can I be nothing, anything without Jesus. No. But I am to know who I am. If I am a born again child of God, I am to know that I am, and I am to know that I am to walk as he wants me to walk and to do the things he wants me to do. And I can't say, well, I can't do that because I just don't have it. Because if I'm a born again child of God, I've got all the power that I need to do the work that the Lord calls on me to do. Or he wouldn't have gave it to me to do it. That's like preaching. I couldn't preach these messages. I didn't have the education for it. Mean little old country boy, as honored as they come, with an eighth grade education. That's all the education I had was an eighth grade education. And when you get into God's word, look at the men he called. You don't find where they were great men, a well-educated man. There's two that we know of that probably have pretty good education in that day and time. That was Luke, the physician, and he was a doctor. So we figure he had to have some education. And then Matthew, the tax collector. He had to have a little. But the rest of them were fishermen, which in that day and time was considered to be some of the worst of mankind. And that's the ones he picked. The Apostle Paul, that wrote most of the New Testament. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament, Paul did. Because God called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles, which means he is the one God called to be mine and your apostle. He was even in on murder. The first deacon of the church, Stephen, they killed him by stoning him. And who was standing there giving voice to that stone? Paul. Of course, he wasn't Paul at that time. He was Saul. He was even holding his clothes. He had made trip after trip after trip out and bringing back in those that followed Jesus, bringing them back to prison and death. He was on the way to Damascus the day he met Jesus on the road to get more to bring back to imprison and to get death. But he met Jesus on the way. And his life was changed. Why would Jesus use a man like that? Because he knew he would stand just as strong for him as he had stood against him. And he would stand there until his death, which is exactly what happened. He died a martyr's death. He was killed for preaching the gospel, God's word, That's the way we've got to stand today. Because there's coming a day, and it ain't that far away, where you're going to have to choose to either serve the world out here and the government and accept that mark of the beast, or Jesus. If you take on Jesus, you can lose your head. Not many willing to do it. There's no such thing as an atheist, not a true atheist. One that don't believe in God, that really don't believe in Him. Put them face to face with death and see. I went overseas with a whole bunch of them on ship. No, there ain't no such thing as God. You don't have to be afraid there. Because none of that's going to happen. And you're killed when you're just gone. Ain't no God out there. They hit Korea. That first bullet that went by their ear. Oh, Lord, help me. Keep me safe, Father. Keep me safe. Calling on the very one they didn't believe in. That combat there in Korea changed a lot of lives, let me tell you. I know, I've seen it. Changed a lot of lives. And it changed some to not so good too. But it did change a lot of those that were walking filled with evil and changed their lives for the good. There's a lot of changing going on during that conflict. It was never called a war. And yet we lost 36,000 men and over 200,000 wounded. And it was never called a war. It was called a police action. I didn't know I had joined the police force. I thought I'd joined the army. That's what I was told anyway. They called it a police action. But you know, we're going to be picking up here, God willing, Sunday morning. Maybe we'll get through the rest of this chapter. Because it's filled with a lot of good stuff. Ain't it, Dennis? Filled with a lot of good stuff. I'm going to be preaching this Sunday morning. So next week, we're going to get Dennis back up here. Put Brother Dennis to work again. See what God will put on his heart between now and then. Because I know God's working with him. And I know he's dealing with him all the time. And I know he is me. And I know God is dealing with his people today. And he's doing it all the time. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a time that we can all come together to share your word with each other so that we can grow thereby and walk closer and further into the kingdom. And that we can all grow stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we can walk as you want us to walk, doing whatever work you call upon us to do, Father. Now, Father, be with us throughout this evening and your saints, wherever they are. We ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. Because, Father, we know that they have right now, they're having very little peace. But even more than that, Father, we're praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, that without any excuse has turned its back and walked so far away and causing us to lose our young people, our children and our grandchildren. And Father, they had no excuse whatsoever, but they've brought evil upon our own. And we're asking the Holy Spirit to work with us to remove those from office, Father, that is against the church, that is against the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to replace them with those that will stand with the church and with the Lord Jesus Christ, and work with us and help us to put this land back and our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, in that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And for our prayer list this evening, Father, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch each one of them, to bring about the infilling, indwelling of whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. But Father, we're going to start with those that are here present. For Dennis, for Sister V, for my daughter and my granddaughter, for myself. And Father, for Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's friend, Sue and Sue's family in Texas, for Amy's husband, Tom, and Tom's friend, Dennis, and Dennis's family in Oklahoma, for their son, Jacob, this young man, Father, use him in mighty and great way among the young people there in Texas. For Terry Coates, for Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina, the brothers in Christ, Father. For the Glory Bound Church there in Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg. For the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. And Father, these churches make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. And these pastors, I pray, Father, that they are walking to where they are being filled, to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, to keep these churches along the pathway of righteousness. For this young man, Will, that was ordained a year ago into the ministry, I pray that his teacher was the Holy Spirit, and that he is the minister you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, we lift them up, put them in your hands. You know what is needed there. And for that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my friends there in Pakistan, Father, Pastor Haroon Islam, and for Pastor Barak Mishai, and for Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, watch over them, keep them safe, and fulfill their needs, and use them in mighty and great ways. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my family, for my wife's family, Father, may the Holy Spirit work with each and every family that hears this message, and walk with those that are walking in darkness. Lead them out of that darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Montvillo and her mother, for Sue, for Palance, for Casey Smith, for James Taylor, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Henry Craycroft. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. So we're asking, Father, that they be touched with that healing that comes from the stripes of Jesus. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. And God bless. So everyone, remember, come Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, we can all be back together again and back into the Word of Almighty God. So until then, keep praising the Lord. Hold on to Him and He'll hold on to you. Good night, all.